Welcome to the Money Insights Podcast, where high income earners go to learn wealth building strategies that will take them from high income to high net worth.
Thanks for tuning in to today's episode of the Money Insights Podcast, where we talk all things money and business. My name's Christian Allen. I'm your host. And with me on the other line, Rodney the Pod Zabriskie. What's up, my friend?
Hey, glad to be here. And I am I'm grateful. Thankful, I should say.
So anyway, this is a good time of year to be thankful.
Yeah, Rod. It's probably got it on my mind but I had a really kind of interesting experience that really got me thinking about something in specific. So we took a drive down to Arizona. We live in Utah, drove to Arizona. On the way, we stopped by the Hoover Dam. And this is probably going to sound kind of silly, really. But anyway, what got me thinking is my wife found this really cool hike for us to do. We were hiking along what used to be the railways that they used to run all the supplies down as they were building Hoover Dam. But they had to build 30 miles worth of railway before they could even start on the dam, just to make it so they could get the stuff down there that they needed.
It's insane.
And that was hard work anyway, but here they are in, this is down near Las Vegas, 120 degree heat in the summer. Like, they brought their families with them. They were living in tents and then going and doing all this stuff. And then it just got me appreciating all the people that have come before us and just done really cool things. And anyway, it just impacts us in ways that we have no idea. And but then you get glimpses of it, or I got a glimpse of it in that experience, and just kind of made me appreciate, all the cool things that to kind of bring us to where we are today.
Love it, Rod. This is a good time of year to be thinking about those types of things,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And really, maybe we should be thinking about it all the time, but especially as we go into our Thanksgiving weekend, I think about the projects. I even think about how difficult it is to build a house today with like all of the technology and tools that we have.
Yeah.
And I'm just like amazed at how that comes together. And so to think about some of these just amazing structures that took, an incredible amount of engineering, it's really cool. So anyway, that's a really good thought, Rod. A couple of weeks ago, Rod, we promised that we would talk to the listeners about how to create a quality financial team.
Yes.
So you remember that was spurred on because of our episode that listed all the reasons not to hire a traditional financial advisor.
Right.
And we thought we probably should provide the value of saying, okay, we know that we shouldn't do this, but let's talk about what we should do.
Yeah, and
so
how to
today's
do it.
Episode, today's episode is the focus on who to actually get on the bus, so what professionals, what advisors we should have on the bus with us, and then we're going to talk about what the actual process to choosing them should look like, mm-hmm. or at least I say should, right? There's more than one way to skin a cat. However, this is the way that we would recommend people going about finding the right advisor for the right situation.
Yeah, putting the right cats on the bus.
Yes, the right cats on the bus. Okay, Rod, so the first question is, what professionals make up a solid financial team? Why don't you kick us off with the first advisor we need?
Yeah, first is going to be, drum roll, CPA, or a good tax professional. And
I kind of wish, Rod, that you would have actually had a drum roll. Do you think you could work on that? Like the special effects, throw them in there? I know people do it.
Like ba-da-da-da-da, like that?
That was pretty good. I mean, I was thinking you could probably find one that was like some sort of technology to take care of it for you.
I'm with you now. Okay.
Sound effects.
Yeah, sound effects.
Think clay, Rod. Think clay. Okay, that's an inside joke.
Yeah.
Okay, so back to number one. Yeah. What is the first member of our financial team that we need?
Yeah, and this is someone, I mean, you started using a some sort of tax professional like when you were very, very young, right? Because you just had to file your taxes and you're like, hey, I need someone to help me do this. So
yeah, my dad was a CPA, so he started filing my taxes for me, which was so nice.
There you go.
See? It would have been nice had I been able to keep with him. But
yeah, my dad was an accountant too.
Huh. Man. It's in our genes.
Yeah.
Okay. So the point here, though, is we need a CPA or tax professional. Mm-hmm. And really, the key word here is we need someone that's proactive.
Yes.
But I have to throw out a word of caution. My experience is that every CPA is proactive.
Yeah, they'll tell you
I'm
that.
I'm saying that in quotations, right? Yeah. What really happens is that no matter who you talk to, they're all going to say that they're proactive. And that's why the process matters, right? Mm-hmm. The process of actually choosing becomes really important because most people, if you go in and you say, hey, so-and-so advisor, here's what I'm looking for. Well, there you are going to find those specialists and people who just say, well, that's outside of what I do, so here, but here's how I can help you. But a lot of times what's really common is to find that people say, oh, great, that's exactly what I do. Mm-hmm. So we're a perfect match.
Yeah. Yeah,
but
exactly.
But the reality is that, you know, 90%+ of all CPAs are not proactive. They focus on people helping people file their taxes, but they're doing it from behind the eight ball, right? It's not about looking for ways ahead of time to create and maximize tax efficiency. It ends up being the opposite, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, show me what you've got and we'll do the best we can with what we've got.
Yeah, and like retroactively saying, oh, great, let's have you contribute to a IRA or something this year. So
yeah, exactly. And that is it. Like, that's the number one tax strategy that I hear from tax professionals. The average tax professional is put money in an IRA. Mm-hmm. And so like for the people listening to this, that's probably not enough.
No,
right?
No, yeah, for sure.
Okay, so number one, CPA tax professional. The second one, Rod, is that we need an attorney. And I say an attorney, we might need multiple attorneys, but we at least need a couple of them. So the first ones to get on the bus, if you're an investor, you're someone who wants to build wealth, is you have to get both an estate planning attorney and an asset protection attorney. Those two are important, again, regardless. Because if you're building wealth, one, you probably are creating an estate that needs planning.
Mm-hmm.
And then I should just say, like, everybody needs an estate planning attorney, even if you don't have some large estate.
Yeah.
There's some kind of key things that need to be taken care of that will cause, you know, people that you care about, family, challenges if you don't just take care of them on the front end. Similarly, it's probably pretty easy for people to understand why an asset protection attorney is so critical. Obviously, again, as we continue to build wealth, we continue to get a larger target on our back. And so from that standpoint, it becomes even more important to have a good asset protection attorney. So those are the two. And maybe I'll just add to this, Rod, that there's probably several others that could be valuable, could be important, given with a given situation. So
yeah, especially if you own a business or, you know, so in our business dealings, like, we have a team of attorneys that we work with, and even within that context, we'll have several that get involved. You know, for example, when we were buying a business or selling our business, then there was a specific, mm-hmm. you know, attorney that was, had that specialty. Whereas with other elements of our business, then we got other members of the team involved. But yeah, as your wealth grows, your kind of kingdom grows,
your opportunity for loss also grows.
Yeah, and just needs, just wanting to get things done right. Like, you know, if you're innovative and creating cool things, then you're going to need some good intellectual property, you know, protection type of stuff happening, and that's a different attorney. So.
Yep, and hopefully we don't need criminal attorneys. Those are the ones we want to try to stay away from.
Yeah,
right?
don't go that direction.
Okay, so the third one that we have on here, Rod, is financial specialist, and maybe just talk about kind of what that means in this context.
Yeah, so instead of having a list that was, you know, 20 or 30 different specialties long, this one just kind of encapsulates a lot of different, like, stockbroker, life insurance agent, maybe business related coaches or you know, brokers or things like that. And it's going to be very specific usually to something that you're trying to accomplish inside of the rest of the picture. And so you engage someone that's a specialist in doing that, helping you do that specific thing.
Yeah. And so we're going to talk about where we fit in on this kind of into the equation overall. And we fit into a few of these, but one of them is in the financial specialist area, where obviously we have a specialty niche area inside of all things life insurance and, you know, obviously the investment optimizer, retirement accelerator, and just general strategy as it relates to life insurance.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so the fourth one is insurance, but I'm talking specifically here about property and casualty. And so it's obviously, it's one of those that's like, you never want to think about. It's kind of boring, but they're really critical. Mm-hmm. So, and it becomes more critical the more money you have. And certainly if you have businesses, then it becomes even more critical. But for everybody, obviously, the law requires that we have home and auto insurance. Mm-hmm. You should probably take that another step and make sure you have an umbrella policy.
Absolutely.
Super cheap and incredibly valuable, right?
Yeah.
I think I have like a $3 million umbrella policy in it, and it feels like it costs like, you know, $150 a year or something like that.
Yeah. Well, and in my mind, it's not even, well, yeah, absolutely. It's about the $3 million, but it's also about having that insurance company's team of attorneys on your side now, right? So something happens to you from a liability standpoint or whatever it might be. And instead of just kind of being on your own to fight it, you have now them, it's in their best interest to keep, you know, limit the exposure. And so you have their team on your side.
Yep. I love it. Okay. So we're not going to beat this one too much. Everyone knows that you've got to have your State Farm agent. I'm just kidding. Don't go to State Farm. Go to an independent agent. And I mean that because obviously if you're tied to a single company, then you're going to get the products from that company. What we always recommend for people is that they go to someone that's independent, that can write business from a number of different companies and ultimately find the right fit and the right price and use their whole repertoire of opportunities to make sure that you're getting the very best deal. So that's just my last thought on the property and casualty side of things. The next one we have on here is real estate agent. And the reason that we put this here, and it could be several real estate agents, mm-hmm. depending on what you're looking for, where you're looking for it. So Rod and I are in the process with my brother of doing some investing, and we're right now looking for a few specific real estate agents specific to the area that we're wanting to invest.
Right.
And so the idea here is that they'll have a, you know, maybe not just a broad idea of what the market looks like from a real estate perspective. And really we kind of all have at least some of that. But the hope there is that they have a niche focus in their area or just because they're there, they know the place, mm-hmm. they know the areas to stay away from. For that reason, it can be really powerful to have either an agent or multiple agents, especially if you're someone that invests in like DIY real estate.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, Rod, I think that's probably good on the real estate agent. Why don't you talk about the next one on our list?
Yeah, so the next one is a banker and or lenders. So obviously we need people who know what they're doing as it relates to that flow of money in and out of investments and just businesses and our personal lives and all this kind of stuff. And again, this is one of those that people engage usually early on. And for me, it was, I do most of my banking in the place where my wife was already doing her banking when we got married and what kind of, we brought things together. But as things expand, as we're, you know, investing and doing other things and maybe engaging even with like the SBA and things like that on a business side, then we're going to expand that focus. But the process we're going to talk about today applies equally to that process of you know, engaging bankers, lenders on different levels as well.
Yeah, and that one is super critical. If you're a DIY investor, you've got to make sure that you have a good lending side.
Yep.
So anyway, and we won't beat on this because I think everybody has experienced kind of both sides of it. Maybe if you're brand new, you haven't, but, you know, just being around for a little while, there's a big gap mm-hmm. Or a big difference between working with, you know, a quality lender versus not.
Yeah. Well,
for lack of a better word, like I've had great experiences and I've had some really awful ones recently. So I know like you've got to have the right people on the bus and this piece can like break all your deals, right? If you don't have it right, it can be a huge hindrance to being able to accomplish what you want to.
Yeah, or it can make your deals. And what's interesting and what I've found is that there are specific banks, specific lending institutions that are that specialize in certain types of things. And so you might be surprised when you expand your horizon beyond the names that we all know, or like the local banks or credit unions that you would just, you know, default to, as it gets specific into real estate investing or some of these things. There are some really cool, I don't know if they're called boutique banks or whatever, out there that specialize in this environment and really a lot of different things, like for high income, high net worth types of people who have different things going on. We see the same thing on the premium finance side, right? There are banks that look like just maybe a little community bank, you know, over in this, you know, corner of the country, but they specialize in, and they like the whole premium finance world. And so that's just a single example. And you'll find that with a lot of different things as you follow this process and engage different banks.
Yeah, good example. Okay, the last one on our list here is just a deal generator or syndicator. Mm-hmm. And the reason that this is important, obviously, for most people that listen to us is because most people that we talk to have a different way of creating income, mm-hmm, first. Mm-hmm. Now, that's not exclusive, right? We obviously have a lot of clients who are all in on just real estate investing, but most people have some sort of career that they're generating significant amounts of income. A lot of our people are in the medical and dental space, mm-hmm, but again, it goes across the board. The importance here is if you need someone to help find deals, then you've got to have a deal generator, and that could be in a lot of different ways, right? Depending on what you're interested in, but again, if you're in that DIY space, then and you don't have the time, then this is going to be really critical. Otherwise, you won't be able to find the assets to invest in. This is where someone like a Buck Joffrey ends up being really helpful, yeah, because absolutely, he goes through, he finds a lot of the deals, he gives you, you know, he kind of feeds them up on a platter. They've already been vetted. You kind of know what you're getting from it. And so having those people in your life, I think, is another really important piece. And we could probably add a few others, but those were the initial ones that we hit on. And so next, I think what we want to do is talk about what the actual process looks to choosing an advisor. And like Rod said, it applies across the board. Every single one of those that we hit on, you can use the same process for. So in that way, it's a little bit redundant, but worth the effort.
Yeah, and as you do it, you'll refine your process and you know, get better at it as you go.
Okay, Rod, so what is the process for choosing? Why don't you kick us off?
Okay, so first thing you need to do is recognize the need and really define it. Like, get really specific on what it is you're looking for and write it down. So the process will go much more smoothly as you are very specific about what it is you're looking for. It's going to help you because, not to get too far ahead of myself, but once you do start engaging and speaking with professionals, like we talked about earlier, everyone's going to say they can do everything, right? Almost across the board. If you say, hey, do you do this? Then they're going to, of course, say, well, yeah, of course I do. But if you're very specific on what you're looking for and you can get into those details, then that's really going to be critical in helping you really get narrowed in on the people that are going to help you accomplish those goals in the most effective way.
And there's a lot of areas of specialty. So the more that you can define, the more that we can define the need, the better we're going to get our needs met. And so you hope that there's people who can tell you what they won't do. But I'll tell you this, if you go in and you say, hey, I need to work on inside of estate planning, I want to talk about a charitable remainder trust, mm-hmm, just as a, you know, a random example. Well, that will give them a chance to really look in the mirror and say, okay, do I know how to actually accomplish that?
Right.
I can't just say, oh yeah, I'm an estate planning attorney. In this case, I need to say, I can help you accomplish this specific goal that you're wanting to achieve.
Right.
So again, the more specific you can be, the better opportunity you're going to have to get the right person on the bus. Okay, so the key here, Rod, is that you have to have at least 3 referrals coming from sources that, for lack of a better way of saying this, that are at or above your financial level of success.
Yeah, and specifically related to what you're trying to accomplish, right? So,
well, so yeah. So the first thing is if I'm wanting to find a CPA, mm-hmm, then I definitely don't want to get referrals to attorneys at that point. I need 3 I need three referrals to at least three referrals to CPAs. And that's a starting point. So then the question is, okay, if I'm going to get three, where are they coming from? The answer is they need to come from people who have experience in the area that you're wanting to work on and have had an existing level of success.
And this,
like,
is,
those things are really important.
Yeah, and this is where your list is going to come in handy, because you're going to be very specific when you're asking for these referrals. So you're going to go to your whatever, your business partner who you know has maybe a little further down the road than you are, and you're going to say, hey, these are the specific things that I'm looking for in my CPA. Do you know anybody who can help me accomplish these things?
So the next thing that's super important, Rod, is you've got to do actual due diligence.
Yourself.
Just because, yes, yourself, just because your friend who is successful mm-hmm. has given a referral to you does not mean that they're going to be great automatically.
Yep.
In fact, it's not uncommon for me to ask for referrals and then go and do due diligence and find that they just don't live up to the level that we're wanting. So an easy way to do that is to actually use Google reviews, learn about them on the internet. Really, Rod, in today's day and age, if you can't find somebody, then you probably shouldn't work with them.
That's
they should be easy to find. You should be able to find a lot of people that have had success with them. And so I think that's really critical, because here's the deal. If you don't find that, you don't even want to bother doing the interviewing, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So before you do the interview, you've got to have the quality referral, and your due diligence has got to stack up. So now, once I've done that, what comes next?
Yeah, then you do interview them. So you're going to want to, and again, interview 2 to 3, right, of the people that you referred to. Or I might say, what, in the course of doing your due diligence, you might come across others that you feel like are worth interviewing as well, right? So
sure.
But again, you're going back to what you wrote down, what the specific things are that you're looking for, and not just asking them, do you do these things, but maybe getting into a little more specifics about, you know, how would you go about implementing this for me, helping me put some strategy behind what I'm looking for, and then getting there.
Okay, Rod, now we've done the interview.
Sorry, can I say one more thing on that?
Nope. Just kidding. Go for it.
So when you're doing those interviews, just recognize and be aware of biases. And we've kind of been implying this in the things we've been saying already so far, but
be more specific, Rod. Well, so, what do you mean by biases?
Yeah, so understand that, for example, let's say you're on your third interview, and the person you're interviewing says, hey, have you talked to anyone else? And you say, oh, I talked to, you know, this guy over here and that one over there. And they're trying to get your business, right? And so they're most likely going to say things to, maybe not necessarily disparage, but maybe insert doubt about some of the other options that you're considering. And it's not that information isn't valuable, because it can be valuable, but you just want to recognize the source, right? Understand that the bias of the person that's giving it, and then put that into the right context as you're considering it in your decision making.
Yeah, that's a good point. Conflict of interest exists everywhere.
Yeah.
With every single relationship, there's some sort of conflict of interest. And in this case, the conflict is that people want business. They want to make money. Mm-hmm. And they make money by providing a service, and therefore want to provide a service to you. Now, Rod, here's the good news. In my experience, the better somebody is at their job, mm-hmm. the more likely they are to turn away clients. In other words, the better people get, you'll run into more people who are willing to say, hey, this isn't my area of expertise.
Yeah.
And so again, finding the right place to start ends up being a big step to get you going the right direction.
And then those people can be great, another great source, right? So if you ask them that question, they're like, okay, I see exactly what you're looking for, and I just don't feel like I'm a great fit. Then you ask them, okay, if you were me, then who would you go talk to for these things?
Good thought. Okay, finally, Rod, we've got to analyze the options and make a decision.
Yep.
And I don't know if that's the easy part, but it's a whole lot easier than the process, especially from a time perspective.
Yeah.
My experience, I just went through this. So I'm getting married a second time, and my fiance is having some like family law issues that we had to deal with, like choosing kids' schools and, you know, all those fun decisions that co-parents have to make. But we have gone through the same process. We actually came up with four, and we've met with four separate family law attorneys. And the third one, like, really nailed it for us.
Yeah.
So it was really important for us not to go with the first. In fact, when we got out of the second one, I remember leaving thinking, like, gosh, that's perfect. Like, mm-hmm. I think that's it. Mm-hmm. But we were committed to the process. So we went into the third one and found that that one actually hit home even more so than what we had gotten on that second. So again, going through the process, analyze the options, define it, and ultimately make a decision that you feel good about.
Sweet.
Anything else we want to talk about on the choosing specific part of it?
I think that's good.
Okay. So, Rod, let's talk a little bit about who the quarterback should be. And not who it is, but let's talk about who the quarterback should be.
Okay, yeah. So let's define what we mean by this. So the quarterback is basically the person that kind of takes the lead, coordinates things among the different professionals. And I'll tell you this, any or all of those professionals would love to be that quarterback. They're the one calling the shots. They're telling you, you know, do this, do that. And by the way, we meet with a lot of people who would love nothing more than to have somebody like that is just telling them what to do, right? Because it's, I mean, think about the process you went through with the family law attorney, and it takes time, and you have to be patient, and,
yep,
and you have to be diligent to the process. But here's what we would say. Who should be the quarterback? It should be you. You should be the one that's taking that on yourself, coordinating, calling the shots. And again, that doesn't mean you're making all of the decisions by yourself, because you're not the specialist in all of these areas. But you're the one that's deciding when and how and who, and then making sure that they come together and work together as a team. And so you're handing the ball off to the right person at the right time. You're making sure that you have the, you know, the others who are blocking and tackling. Anyway, just, not to go too far with the analogy, but just making sure that it's a team, but that you're the quarterback. You're leading the charge.
My experience, Rod, is that it almost goes poorly every time.
Yeah.
Not doing it that way. So in other words, we've seen people give up the ball too early, mm-hmm. and it almost always goes poorly, right? I've seen a few situations where someone's really happy with their handing off their responsibilities, I guess, mm-hmm. to someone else. But for the most part, it just causes conflict and ends up crashing. So if you go through and understand that from the get-go, take on that responsibility of being the quarterback, and then, like Rod said, you can decide where the ball is going to go and when. And again, our experience is that doing that has been so much more successful than those situations that we've seen. And we've seen many of them where people give up that role as the quarterback.
And again, by following the process and having those specific, the list that you made, you're clearly communicating to each of these professionals what you want from them and what you're expecting from them. And so, not to say they won't try to wrest that kind of, you know, control from you, but it just communicates to them that's not what you're asking for. You're asking for these very specific things.
Okay, Rod, the next thing that we want to talk about is where we fit into this overall or fit into the spectrum of advisors. So why don't you kick us off?
Yeah, well, to begin with, we are first and foremost strategic oriented. So there are specialties that we provide, and yet we're always going to start from a strategic standpoint. And a lot of people who have worked with us or seen some of the things that we do, the Investment Optimizer is a really good example of that. We're taking people who are or are going to be getting into alternative investing, whether it be real estate or businesses or whatnot. And this becomes the opportunity fund from which they do all of that investing. And so, but again, it's a strategic starting point, even though we end up, in this example, we end up implementing it using a specially designed life insurance policy. But we're not starting. People aren't coming to us in that example. They're not coming to us and saying, hey, I want life insurance. How should I do this? And we're telling them, hey, you should do it as an investment optimizer, right? But that's not to say people don't come to us and say, hey, I need life insurance, right? I need some term insurance, or I need disability insurance or whatever. And so we then plug in as the specialist and do that. But we always want to make sure that we're starting from a strategic level of what is it you're trying to accomplish, and then how do we plug in to that? And if people come in there specific and they have that list like we talked about earlier, then it helps. It just makes the process so much more smooth as we then implement. We know exactly what they're looking for and can plug in and do the things that'll help them get there.
Well, and so starting at a strategic level is the only way to do anyone the right kind of service. Yeah. So as an example, if somebody comes in and they have no interest in doing cash flow investments, they're not in the real estate world, we're probably not going to say, let's implement the investment optimizer right. in that situation, yep. right? So it just so happens that our niche area of focus is in alternative investments, and therefore the investment optimizer is a great strategy for most people. It's a great starting point. But as people come in, we have to make sure we're pointing them the direction that's actually going to serve them the best. And so for some people, that could mean other types of specially designed life insurance situations like premium finance, but it could also be something entirely mm-hmm. different, right? It could be something in the charitable space or business planning or other types yeah. of things that fit into that same category of being strategic. The next thing that we do is we're specialists, and our specialty is obviously in all things life insurance. I always talk about how Rod's an expert in all things life insurance, and that kind of gives us the ability to go any direction we want, given the situation. It could be something specific for premium finance and where the policy has to be designed really well in order to work and make sense. And like you said, Rod, it could be something as simple as term insurance mm-hmm. or disability insurance. But that ends up being, aside from the strategy component, ends up being where our biggest area of focus is. Or at least our area of specialty is. Now, the other thing that we try to do is make sure that we're an educational resource and provide connections for people.
Absolutely.
So obviously, this isn't something that we get paid for doing specifically, and yet it is, because that's why people come mm-hmm. to us. That's why, you know, that's why we've been able to develop like the reputation for being education focused. And then the final thing that we'll hit on here is just that we're going to be expanding. We're going to continue to provide additional services that help our high income and high net worth clients take their financial situation to the next level. So that kind of gives an overall view as to where we fit into this equation. And it's a question we get somewhat frequently because it can be a little bit gray, right? Mm-hmm. We're specialists, but we focus on education and strategy. So hopefully that is clear as mud for everybody. Okay, Rod, before we close this thing up, why don't you just talk about the importance of trusting the process?
Yeah, hopefully you've gotten a really good feel for that already, but trusting the process is critical because, you know, going back to your story, you know, had you stopped with the second attorney, maybe that wouldn't have turned out like bad for you, but you're much better off by having gone through to that third person and continued, you know, the interviewing process. So,
well, Rod, can I just tell you on that? The difference between the person that we initially thought was yeah. good and the person that we decided to go with was really pretty significant. I mean, the amount of advice we got on that first meeting, mm-hmm. it was just night and day difference. And so to your point, if we hadn't taken that step to say, hey, we're going to trust the process and do this regardless of what we find out in the interim, I think that just made a huge, huge difference.
Nice. So don't skip steps, right? The moral of the story is don't skip steps. Go through the process, trust the process. And then the other thing is don't let other people derail you. So for example, so you go to Thanksgiving dinner, right? You've gone through this process.
You
pick somebody.
You're going to talk about your uncle who...
So maybe the uncle, either they're in that profession or they know somebody and they're just like...
Know somebody.
You're stupid if you do anything other than going with, you know, whatever, yep. XYZ over here. But
you have to use my friend Joe, who's been doing this for 42 yeah. years. And he's been retired for 5, but he's dang
yeah,
good.
And it's not to say that your uncle, that their opinion doesn't matter. But sure. You've gone through a process. You've been very specific in what you wanted. And you went out and found somebody to provide that for you. And that's the context that your uncle or your brother-in-law or your friend or you know, that.
So here's what you do instead. Here's what you do instead. You take that information and you could incorporate it into your process.
Sure.
That would be a much better way to do it. Or you can just disregard it and trust your process. But either way, make sure you trust the
Absolutely.
Process. Okay, Rod, without further ado, we're going to close up shop. Thanks so much for listening to the Money Insights podcast, and we will see you next week.
Thank you for listening to the Money Insights podcast. To learn more about the financial and business strategies discussed in this show, visit moneyinsights.net.